the airwaves, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. In the effort to determine those unaccounted for after the Maui wildfires, FBI special agent in charge Stephen Merrill says after consolidating lists...
That leaves, however, about 1,000 people that we're still trying to drill down the list. We're making tremendous progress, but no one on this stage will be happy, including myself, until we get that list as far as we can go.
DNA expert Julie French says they're using rapid DNA to help identify remains.
We're comparing the DNA results that are generated from remains to available family members.
And they're asking more relatives to come forward and offer samples. Extreme heat grips the nation's midsection this week with feels-like temperatures forecast to exceed 110 degrees. CBS's Christian Benavides reports the superintendent of Edwardsburg Public Schools in Michigan is taking precautions.
For much of the Midwest, a heat dome is top of mind this week, with nearly 140 million Americans under heat alerts. School districts in northwest Indiana are making adjustments, one moving recess inside, another changing its football game from Thursday to Friday.
We want to be proactive. We know that there's a chance that it might not hit that 104, but I would rather err on the side of student safety than take that chance.
Harold, which made landfall on Texas Padre Island in the Gulf of Mexico today as a tropical storm, has been downgraded to a tropical depression. Despite the weakening, Harold was still forecast to bring heavy rains and powerful winds to southern Texas. British research finds that a simple eye scan can detect more serious complications with a person's health and early. Dr. Scott Grossman uses the OCT scan at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine.
The novelty and the benefit of a study like this is that it demonstrates that we can use OCT to find people who have Parkinson's disease, hopefully, before it's evident based on other approaches like clinical exam or brain scans.
In Pakistan, a cable car is left dangling nearly 1,000 feet over a river when one of its mile-long cables broke. Inside, two adults and six children. CBS's Ramey Innocencio.
After night fell, authorities suspended air rescue, but on the ground, operations never stopped. Officials and locals deploying a zip line to the car and pulling everyone inside to safety. Pakistan's prime minister has demanded inspections of all makeshift cable cars in the country.
A new report from the CDC finds one in five women reported mistreatment during maternity care. The agency's Dr. Wanda Barfield.
We're talking about receiving no response to requests for help, being shouted at or scolded, not having their physical privacy protected, and being threatened with withholding treatment or made to accept unwanted treatment.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ray Mayotte. Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right. Kind of a different topic than normal for this morning, but how much did your car cost you? And I don't even know. I mean, the truth is, I'm thinking back on my car right now, and I know what my monthly payments are, but I actually, looking back at it,
don't remember.
Off the top of my head, don't remember. Because it was like, all right, well, what am I going to know? If I'm leasing, how much am I going to owe for how many months? Because you're not paying the full cost of the car.
Right.
But I'm curious as to what your current car cost you, because as of right now, there is only a single model that costs less than $20,000.
That's unreal.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
There's only one new car left under $20,000. It's a Mitsubishi Mirage.
Does it have wheels?
It does have wheels.
Okay, good.
But I'm curious, just for context of how much more expensive things are, just in general, what did you pay for your car? 844-967-2789. And I guess also then, does this make you want to hold on to that car for as long as possible?
Drive it until the doors fall off.
Because so a Mitsubishi Mirage was the cheapest new car on the U.S. market last month. You know, and I think it's, you know, if public transit's not your thing, and most of our places, like, it's not an option.
Right.
Like, we don't have, unless you live, like, the East Coast is pretty good, but most of the state, most of the country, to be able to get around the way you need to get around either takes a lot of time, if you're going to take public transit.
For sure.
Or is actually just not possible. And so for the most part, we've built a lot of our state, cities, country in as a way that you need to have a car one way or another. So, but as of, so Cox Automotive found that Mitsubishi Mirage was the only new model going for less than $20,000 last month. And its average selling price is $19,205. But the middle of the road new car cost, as of July 2023, middle of the road, what do you think it was, Jane?
Oh, I'm afraid. 32.
Higher.
36.
48.
Is the middle of the road?
It's the middle of the road. It up 30% since 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. And used cars are no better. The average July price for a used car was $27,000. Which is also a hike from a 30% hike from 2019. And, you know, This is a strain on the family budget. Like, you think about, I was looking this up this morning as far as what the suggested budget breakdown is for your, you know, your monthly take-home pay is this, and 30% should go to housing, and 10 to 15% should go to transit. And transit is not only your car payment, it's also gas.
And what about maintenance?
And maintenance, yeah, and if you get in an accident. But it takes over 42 weeks of median household income to cover the average car cost, the average cost of a new car. And on the top high of high prices, high interest loans are also now a burden because a record 17.1% of new car owners had a monthly payment above $1,000 a month.
I can't even imagine.
How much you're supposed to be spending. Like, I was doing the math this morning, and if the median income in Wisconsin is around $67,000, at least according to this source. Sometimes I see different ones, but it's always somewhere between like $50,000 and $70,000. So that means your take-home pay is a little more than $4,000 a month, which means that's what you should be spending on, like, your rent or mortgage is $1,000 a month, not a car.
Right.
So I'm just curious, how much did you spend on your car? Not a good thing or a bad thing, but just as you're putting this in context of how much did you spend on your car now? And even more, how much did you spend on your first car, if you remember that? 844-967-2789.
Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. What did you shell out for your wheels?
Well, actually, I've never bought new. I never saw the point in it. So basically, my last vehicle, I traded in two pickup trucks for one pickup truck plus $5,000. That pickup truck I'm still driving. It's an 01. I had a problem with it. I took it into the dealer to fix, which I knew was a dumb thing, but I did it anyways. And I, for giggles, went in to talk to a salesman. I spec'd out my 2001 Dodge Ram with a diesel engine for a brand new, and I grant this is 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
My truck, brand new, 4 or 5 years ago, with all the bells and whistles that mine had, $63,000.
For all the bells and whistles.
And for everyone that my truck that I am currently driving has.
Oh, but just new.
But brand new.
Okay.
Also, I have been looking for another truck, but I want what I want is a diesel because I like my diesel. I pull a big trailer. I found a 98 Dodge Ram pickup truck just like mine, but a few years older, used for $15,000.
Wow. I'm guessing.
Granted, it looked like new, but it's used. It's a 22, or that was a 24-year-old truck.
Oh, and for a 24-year-old truck, yeah.
For a used truck, and I've seen them go anywhere between like $8,000 to $15,000 for a 20-some-year-old truck.
Yeah. Wow.
That to me is insane also.
Well, it's also, like, Jane, you said how much on your first car?
My first car was $8,000.
Which, again, we'll adjust for inflation. I'll get the inflation calculator up. But, like, do you think you could even find a car for less than $10,000 right now?
Not if you want wheels.
Yeah.
For used, you can, but it's you got to look and see what you're buying.
Yes.
You know,
likelihood of lemon high.
Well, yeah, you're going to end up throwing so much money into maintenance or getting it up to speed. Is that worth it then?
Right. Right. Now I've also bought an 01 VW Beetle. I'll never buy a VW again. I loved my Beetle, but just the things you had to do, you had to have special tools for it. I thought that was ridiculous. That I bought knowing that the transmission was not good on it. And
What's wrong with the VW? Because I'm thinking about buying the VW Tiguan I drive now and buying my lease out. Should I not do that?
Well, I no.
Oh. No,
Tom says no.
There's even a guy on YouTube, Scotty Kilmer, who he just slams VWs, talking about like windshield wipers. There's a computer that runs the windshield wipers. There's no need for that. And if your windshield wipers go bad, well, now you're spending a few thousand bucks just because the computer went bad. But mine, granted, that was an 01. I needed special. I like to work on my vehicles. And I needed special tools to work on it for no reason.
All right.
I could just tell you, too, that it had a the injection pump had plates on it, and one of those plates was leaking. Well, it had three normal bolts, and it had one special bolt that I had to buy a tool specifically for that. I'm like, why couldn't you just put four normal bolts? VWs used to be the people's car. They were simple to work on. Now, no. No,
well, I don't think I'm trying to work on my car anytime soon, but I will take that into consideration for what I do with my purchase. But thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Tom. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Scott from Chicago. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, my first car was, I believe, about 4,000, needed about 1,000 repairs. Did not last very long. Second car, about 4,500, needed about 2,000 repairs, but that was also hybrid. And then my current car I actually bought from a friend for about 5,000, which was about 3,000 under market value. And, I mean, it's going great.
All right.
But also my friend repaired his own car and really kept it up and all that. So, yeah, I mean, anything under about 7 or 8, you're going to be putting in a few thousand in repairs.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's, you're going to pay for it. I mean, that's like one way or another, you're probably going to pay over 10 grand, whether it's the cost of the car. But yeah, I mean, to even think that like used cars that are in good condition are
few and far between.
Yeah, totally.
Few and far between.
Thanks for the call, Scott.
844-967-2789. Texter from the 262. Seems like in the near future, the average American is going to have to pick between reliable transportation or owning a home.
I mean, maybe. Like, it's
so expensive.
It's so expensive of how you do both. Or, like, and you, but it, like I said, you come back to a place where, like, you need a car. In most places, you need a car.
844-967-2789. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. We got about 2 minutes.
All right. Good morning. Well, my first car, I spent $6,000, and it worked very well. I was happy about it. I actually, fortunately, have a friend of mine who is in the used car business, and so I always am able to get a very nice used car. I never, other than one time in my life, I've never purchased new. I purchased generally used. And I actually bought a few cars during COVID when Hertz was doing the bankruptcy and up picking up a couple cars there. They were just giving them away with almost no miles because nobody was driving them. And so I got lucky in that sense. But I would recommend, this is what I would recommend. I mean, some people, you know, obviously dealers are going to always charge more than a private owner would.
Yeah.
And I always strongly recommend trying to find a private owner just because the price that they're going to be asking is automatically going to be lower.
Yep.
And you probably will have a little bit of negotiating power in addition to that. And as long as the car's title's clean and you can get a Carfax, which is easy enough.
That's great advice, you know, Dave. We got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Yeah. But thanks for always, as always, for your call. We're going to come back with more of your calls and texts. 844-967-2789. How much did your car cost? Your current car, your first car? Because right now, you can't buy a new car for less than $20,000. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything.
doctor today about SKYRIZI, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Excessive heat warning continues overnight. 80 degrees for the low, mostly clear skies and southwest winds. Wednesday, sunny and hot, the high approaching 100, but thanks to high humidity, look for that heat index to likely exceed 110. Right now, it's 82.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Gene Beauclair, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Matt, and great show, and glad you're bringing up the negatives because we have to remember it, because I'm riding with Biden. He's an outstanding president. And, you know, I remember all of the Trump's responses to significant issues that happened in our country, the pandemic. What did he do? Tried to deny it, wouldn't do anything about it, and then he puts people that have no knowledge of those issues, and we get Biden, and he gets on it right away and starts changing things. We also, with all of the disasters that we are having in our country due to the Republicans poo-pooing climate change and those types of things, and I remember his responses to people, you know, Puerto Rico, I can still see him throwing paper towels at the people there and then talking really disparaging about our fellow Americans. So, I mean,
right.
There's no choice in my mind as a man who is restoring hope to our country and, you know, just totally being discredited and attacked
right.
by people with the R after their name. So thank you very much, Matt. Have a good
yeah,
day.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah, no, and we can't have Trump. I mean, Trump is on the take from Putin. He is a tool of Russian intelligence. He let those classified documents loosely lie around so the Ruskies could find them. And we had a number of undercover agents captured and killed in Russia and in China. Bob and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, a couple things. Why doesn't Jack Smith go directly to it in the 14th Amendment, the civil case, insurrectionist Trump is not eligible for the ballot? That's the first thing. And the second thing is the Georgia legislature is trying to take the case away from fire Lanny Willis and kill that case, and isn't that obstruction of justice? Can
right.
anything be done about that?
Right. So, yeah, I'm going to pick up on. No, listen. Thank you for raising that. For before I go to the next call, for those of you who are not familiar with what Bob just said, they are now starting in the Georgia legislature. They passed a law about a month ago. That they can, the legislature can remove anybody they want who's a prosecutor. And there's a movement afoot to remove Fannie Willis. And then they'd put in some hack who would dismiss the case. That's going on. So, there's three things. Some people think that Brian Kemp, the governor, wouldn't sign off on that. But number two, at some point you go into federal court and you say, look, what do they go around and they fire black prosecutors who are going after a white collar criminal. No, I mean, that is something that's a violation of a lot of things. I'm not going to get into them. Thank you for bringing that up. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, I thought you'd like to hear a little bit of the resume of the Moms for Liberty. most of this information is easily available online, which is where I found a lot of it. First of all, they started out by opposing COVID safety restrictions in school. They oppose rights for all. I mean, that is to say, especially LGBTQ rights, but they're basically, they want their control and they don't want anybody else to have any rights. They also oppose honest racial education by trying to ban different classes. They want to control even what can be discussed in the classroom. They want to ban books. They don't just promote their ideas. Though they actually harass teachers, librarians, and school boards. They, for instance, filed a false claim of child abuse against the school board. They also offer a bounty, or they did, for anybody reporting teachers who discussed the wrong subjects in class. They're affiliated with the Proud Boys. They've been promoted by Breitbart. They've been promoted by Goyim Defense League, which is clearly an anti-Semitic organization. And they've used quotes from Hitler in their literature. This is a wonderful organization.
I'm really indebted to you. Somebody out there, Jack, maybe you, call Ron Johnson's office and say, why are you sponsoring them? This is Wisconsin. Why are you having a discussion event with them at the debate tomorrow? Why is the Republican Party associating themselves with it? But also, why is Wisconsin now represented by a guy who is in bed with these people? Listen, thanks a lot. That was a great call. Mary of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Mary?
Hi, Matt. How are you? I want to switch the topic a little and talk about Tommy Tuberville. And you know how he says he doesn't want to undermine the readiness of our military. But I was reading something recently where an opinion was brought up where perhaps Tommy Tuberville is not putting in military leaders, not approving them or affirming them. I'm not confirming them because he's waiting for Donald Trump to get in, and then they can fill the military leadership with their, anti-democratic insurrectionists.
Yeah, let me respond to that, Mary, and I'll respond to it quickly now. And by the way, there are a couple of other great callers on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. We have 1 minute. But Mary, somebody called in on that before, and I don't agree with that. I think Tommy Tuberville really just hates the United States. Our generals and admirals are all excellent. Our military academies don't have insurrectionists in them. They do not have people who attack our democracy. They stand by our democracy, and that's one of the things that helped us before. It's not as if there's some civilians out there, some hacks he can put in. Virtually any admiral or general who goes in will be fine from that perspective, but some are more competent than others, and that's why we want these people in, and it's wrong for the Senate to continue to let one guy do it. But I stand by the military. There are nobody he can put in there that would be insurrectionist. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. There are still over 1,000 people unaccounted for after the wildfires in Maui. FBI Special Agent in Charge Stephen Merrill.
We may not know in the end about everybody, but we are diligently working with immediate attention to get that list down to where we want it to get to, which is that we're confident we know what happened to the best of our ability.
The extreme heat is back. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
This heat dome firmly in place with some extreme heat, excessive heat warning stretching from Louisiana all the way up to Minnesota.
frightening situation in Pakistan when a cable car carrying a group of kids to school snapped, leaving them dangling 900 feet in the air for 14 hours. CBS's Raimi Inocencio says they were finally rescued, but it was a challenge.
The downwash from a rescue chopper shook the car violently, threatening to send it crashing into the ground nearly 1,000 feet below.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Don't hang up. I'm getting you now. Bobby Eau Claire, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Bobby?
Hi there, Matt. I've missed you for the last couple of days, so I should apologize in advance in case you covered it. But last week, that news broke that the Foxconn Innovation Centers, that they were called, in Eau Claire in Green Bay, that Scooter had his little press stunt right before the 2018 governor's election, and he opened those, I think, in August. And Foxconn said, oh, we're going to open these innovation centers so we can spread out our business throughout the state of Wisconsin, because up in Eau Claire and over in Green Bay, I know everybody was frustrated with all the money that Scooter was putting down into Foxconn because we weren't seeing that business elsewhere throughout the state. Anyways, news broke last week that, oh, lo and behold, they didn't actually do anything in those innovation centers. In Eau Claire, for example, that center has sat empty since 2018 in really prime real estate in our downtown that we put a lot of money into kind of revitalizing and turning into a really nice area. And Foxconn has sat on that building since 2018. Finally, they're selling it, of course, for a profit. But What a joke. And Scooter was a piece of crap. And anyways, I just wanted to hear your take on it, because I know you thought of that whole debacle.
All right. Excellent call. Just real quick, I'll give you my take and we're going to the next caller. That was a scam. The whole thing was a scam. Because, and when I was a candidate for governor in 2018, what I pointed out when Walker did that was this. I said, look, it wasn't just Eau Claire. He bought him in Green Bay. He brought him downtown Milwaukee and a lot of other places. And it was going to spread the business around. All they did was lease them to the present tenants and then sell them for profit. Green Bay just got a big profit. This was a scam. But nobody saw that back then. And frankly, I thought then and I thought now we should have sued them for breach of contract and fraud. Instead, there was a different result. But thank you for calling. You're absolutely right. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Joe?
I just wanted to add on to what Wisco Paul started the hour with, what was talking about the achievements of Joe Biden in contrast to those who are seeking the Republican nomination. And I just wanted to mention one thing. There's been a lot of yakking about what Joe Biden's response to the disaster in Maui and that terrible wildfire that went through. So I want you to take a guess on how long it took the Governor Green of Hawaii issued a request for an expedited declaration, disaster declaration, to the federal government. The state has to ask for help. And I want you to take a guess as to how long it took for Biden to respond to this. And the answer is 63 minutes. And the reason why they were able to do it in 63 minutes is because they knew this had happened. They worked with the governor through the night. His staff worked with the governor to get exactly the sorts of things that they would need for their particular situation, whether it be transportation, whether it be cadaver dogs, all of that, to get what they needed. And that then had to go hand in hand with FEMA, that helped them shape the request, and then to the Office of Management and Budget to go over the numbers, go through lawyers, so that they were able to move it that quickly. So he found out about it at one night. The next morning, the governor issues his request. Within 63 minutes, it is responded to by President Biden, because he knows how to cut through bureaucracy and get this stuff to people. And I just would contrast that. Apparently, people were very pleased with what Obama had done during Hurricane Sandy. And that took a day for that to get that information to get in and then signed off on by President Obama. Let us compare and contrast to that flaming dumpster fire that was Bush's response to Katrina, which long-term effects in that community because of the delayed response and inadequate, terrible response. So 63 minutes, okay? Prepare your request, submit 63 minutes.
Excellent call, Joe. You're absolutely right. And I'll add two things. In Katrina, you know, there were these people flooding out of Louisiana, and some of them were heading for Texas, and the police drove some of them back on the bridge. They didn't want them. You know, how about Trump down in Puerto Rico? One of the prior callers alluded to the fact that he sent paper towels. Took a year to clean it up. And with, you're right, 63 minutes. But in addition to that, this kills me. And then we're going to go to the next caller. This absolutely kills me. The Republican National Committee and the Republicans blasted Biden because as he was walking along, there was a guy holding a cadaver dog on a leash. Biden owns two German shepherds. He likes dogs. So he leaned down and he petted the dog, scratched his head and kept going. It probably lasted a minute. And the Republican Party criticized him for wasting his time and the dog's time. You know, the Republican Party, and you said Hurricane Sandy. Yeah, that's true. And Obama did a great job. But the Republicans blocked any aid to New Jersey and New York for that hurricane because they're blue states. The red state, they wouldn't vote for it. And you know what Boehner did? John Boehner, he was the speaker, he was a moderate. He put together whatever Republicans would vote for it, and then he got Democrats to vote for it. And that may have been one of the things that cost him his speakership. He said, the hell with this, because the Freedom Caucus and those kinds of people went after him. The Republican Party is not only inefficient, it's malevolent, and it's in bad faith when it comes to anything having to do with disasters. And, yeah, they're going to attack Biden. It's not going to do him any good. Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Well, a couple of thoughts. Thanks, Joe. and I can just think of heck of a job, Brownie, that fell out of George Bush's mall. And as far as, hey, you know, reaching down and scratching the dog on the head, I mean, that's what those dogs live for. They live for that praise. They live to do the job, and they live for the love and the praise that they get for doing the job for those type of dogs. Any kind of dog that's trained for that kind of thing, that they live for the praise that they get. I've got a hunting dog that loves to hunt, and he lives for the praise, loves for what his little job is to do. But for those cadaver dogs, they love what they do, and they live for the praise for it. And what I originally called it is to say is that once again, we need to start prosecuting every single one of the people that was involved in the fake electors thing. Because now we got Rona McDaniels who was shooting off her mouth. And apparently she was in on what was going to be going on, and she's qualified. Well, this was just a provisional plan in case, you know, we won on some of these other lawsuits. And from my read of the Constitution, I am not a constitutional scholar, but I can read the English language and read in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Section 2, is that if there's an attempt to abridge with the provisions of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, Section 2, or does the people who it is the we the people who select the electors. And if that is attempted to be abridged, that's a violation of the Constitution. Anybody who was aware of that, who was in on it, who went along with it and is now defending it, they're in violation of their oath to the Constitution and should be removed from office. I'm sorry if that's too harsh, but I mean that these people have to recognize that their duty is to the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution, not to Donald Trump or his ideology or your party's ideology. Your oath is to the people and to the Constitution of the United States.
Right. I agree with you. Let me build on that. And that ties into something that Bob of Madison had called in a little earlier on. I want to talk about it. He had said, why doesn't Jack Smith simply in his lawsuit try to get, in effect, a declaratory judgment or an injunction that Trump not even be permitted to run because he can't serve? And you're raising the good point that under the 14th Amendment, not just Trump, but a lot of these people should be removed. I agree with you both, but I want to tell you how it works. And I also want to say this. I could not agree more on that the fake electors in Wisconsin have got to be prosecuted. Tony Evers has called for it. We're calling for it. You're calling for it. It's a no-brainer. Why do I say that? Because that's a big part of the prosecution in Atlanta, and it's a big part of the prosecution in Washington, D.C. You have to have two overt acts for this kind of a conspiracy. How about paragraph 64 in Fannie Willis's indictment? That relates to a meeting that was held in Wisconsin that the president, chairman of the Republican Party here, attended. And it relates to the Wisconsin fake electors. And 101 in Jack Smith's indictment relates to Ron Johnson, who's meeting with Moms for Liberty tomorrow. Ron Johnson had the fake electors in his pocket, the Michigan ones. And according to Jack Smith, he had the Wisconsin ones, too. You have a lot of other overt acts. Every signature on that fake elector petition or signature certification is an overt act. What Voss and Fitzgerald did were overt acts. This is a no-brainer. But to get back to the 14th Amendment, we talked about it a little bit the other day, but I want to really emphasize this. The 14th Amendment says somebody was part of an insurrection against the United States. And it's not just the Confederacy. It's any insurrection. They can't hold an office of public trust. And the president is certainly that. How is it executed? In other words, how is it accomplished? And several very distinguished constitutional scholars, Judge Luttig, who's a conservative, Lawrence Tribe of Harvard, who's a liberal, and several others, have pointed out that it's self-executing. Why is it self-executing? You don't need a court to say you can do it, because if the coup is successful, you want to get those people out, you can invoke it and then proceed under it. But how do you proceed under it? The procedure is the secretaries of state, when Trump tries to file to run in the Republican primary, for instance, in Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski, I would say to Sarah, don't accept it. Don't accept the signatures. He can't be on it because he led an insurrection. Obviously, that has political risk to Sarah. And you know, there's a Republican presence in this state. What would happen, A, if she doesn't let him on the ballot, B, if she does let him on the ballot, either way, somebody's going to sue in federal court. When they sue in federal court, it'll go initially to probably in Dane County. Might go to my friend Bill Connolly over there. He's a great federal judge in Madison. He might, I would think, I'm not going to prejudge the case. Bill would look at it. But it's very possible Bill Connolly would say, Sarah Godlewski's correct. That would go to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. You sit in three-judge panels up there in Chicago. I clerked on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for the chief judge, one of the greatest judges in Wisconsin history, the Honorable Thomas E. Fairchild, who was also a former Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. It might depend on what panel you get. They have real conservatives down there and people who are more moderate, but it's a matter of law. And let's say they upheld it. Then it'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Here is the fly in the ointment. What do you think Clarence Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Roberts, and what do you think they will all do? My fear is that they will read something into the 14th Amendment that isn't there, that says there has to be judicial approval of it. But how do you get judicial approval when the coup has already placed these federal judges in place before the coup started? They've been there for a couple of years. Clarence Thomas has been there for 30 years, and he's been on the take for a long time. This is the court, for instance, that said that the Voting Rights Act is no good after it had been in effect since the 60s, and the Senate 95-0, just before their decision, had extended it to 2031. They didn't say it was unconstitutional. They said it's not necessary anymore. Who the hell are they? No one elected them. They said under Dobbs, Mississippi v. Dobbs, Dobbs v. Mississippi, that the states could set abortion policy. Immediately, Oklahoma and Texas said that you can't get one even to save the life of the mother. Woman's in Oklahoma or Texas. Doctor says that she has an ectopic pregnancy and she is developing sepsis. He says if you don't do something, you could die. But I'm not going to do it, he says, because I don't want to get thrown in jail by the local DA who wants to be governor. Can you afford to go to California? This is the Supreme Court that did this. This is the Supreme Court that did this. They also did Citizens United. After 100 years of other Supreme Courts, several of them, and 100 years of Congresses saying that corporations couldn't give money and you couldn't give money secretly, they said they were wrong. You have people on the Supreme Court who are in there for life, who are lying, who are corrupt. Some of them are taking money, and they're just saying, well, it's our opinion. We can't be reviewed. We review Congress, and we review the president. They can't review us. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app, The Devil's Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Excessive heat warning continues overnight. 80 degrees for the low, mostly clear skies and southwest winds. Wednesday, sunny and hot, the high approaching 100, but thanks to high humidity, look for that heat index to likely exceed 110. Currently 80 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Donald Trump had his lawyers negotiate the conditions of his arrest and surrender. He'll be arrested and surrendered. That is term of art Thursday. He's going to wait till right after the debate. Then on Thursday, here are some of the conditions of bail. And I'll tell you what, Fannie Willis and the court down there do not fool around. He cannot have no contact with any of his co-defendants other than through his lawyers. He can't call one of them up and threaten them or cajole them or bribe them. He can issue no threats to jurors or witnesses on social media or otherwise, including tweets and retweets. See, one of his trademarks is he'll repost or retweet something somebody else has posted. Can't even do that. As I say, no social media threats. He'll surrender on Thursday. Eastman and Cheesebro have already negotiated their surrender. They have a $100,000 bond. Trump is a $200,000 bond. We said before, the Georgia legislature is rushing now to try to remove Fannie Willis, stand by, and then put in a hack, a gay woman type, who will presumably then just dismiss this thing. Stand by. Brian Kemp, the governor, may not go along with that. And if he does, I would go to federal court and say, what is this? They go around the state plucking off African-American prosecutors who prosecute white guys who are up for white-collar crime. How about organized crime? What the hell is this? They just passed that law letting them do it about a month or two ago. Here's the language, quote, "The defendant shall perform no act to intimidate any person known to him to be a co-defendant or witness in the case, or otherwise obstruct the administration of justice. No direct or indirect threats against co-defendants or witnesses. The above shall include, but are not limited to, posts on social media or reposts of posts made by another individual on social media." Okay, immediately, what do you think he did? He attacked Fannie Willis because he technically has not gone in yet. He doesn't go in until Thursday. You see how sneaky he is. Very, very sneaky. So here's what he did. He attacked Fannie Willis. He is angry that she demanded a $200,000 bond. I would have demanded a $2 million bond. I mean, he'd stiff that anyway. He never pays anything. He leaves town. But here's what he said on True Social. He posted this because he technically hasn't signed that bond agreement and consent agreement at his surrender. He won't do that till Thursday, so he's getting his licks in. Here's what he goes. Not kidding. He says, quote, "The failed district attorney of Fulton County insisted on a $200,000 bond. I assume she thought I was a flight risk, that I'd fly far away, maybe to Russia, share a golden domed suite with Vladimir, never to be seen again. Now, let me analyze that. In fact, let me psychoanalyze that, even though I'm not a psychiatrist. This constant reference to Vladimir Putin and to Russia, even if he claims this was humorous, you know, the in Shakespeare, in Hamlet, there's a great line where somebody looks like they're insane, mad, and the line is, "Methinks there's method in it. Methinks there's method in it. There's method in this. This seeming joke in this case." The other day, he said, "I am the apple of his eye," talking about Vladimir Putin. You don't say that about anyone unless you have a close personal relationship, like a family, your parents, or somebody you're having a romantic relationship with. There's something sexually submissive about Trump and Vladimir Putin. There's something homoerotic about Trump and Vladimir Putin. And not that they ever did anything in private physically, but what I'm saying is, because he was diagnosed as a sadonarcissist, the flip side of sadism is masochism, the works of the Marquis de Sade. And this constant, who the hell would say, "She's afraid I will go to Russia and share a golden domed suite with Vladimir." Not even his last name, Vladimir. He said, for instance, he loved Kim Jong-un. That's what he said. "I'm in love with Kim Jong-un of North Korea." Right after Kim Jong-un captured and tortured Otto Warmbier, the University of Virginia student. This is a sick man. Those of you who are out there, those of you who are out there who are Trump supporters, Republicans, or independents, listen to this very carefully. Many of us are tired with this homoerotic deference to Donald Trump in your party. We had a state senator here who said to Donald Trump with a message, "I am but a bobby pin to Thor's hammer." That is a submissive thing to say. Now, in cult culture, this sort of submission is heard of. It's not pleasant. But this is a guy who said that he is the apple of Vladimir Putin's eye, and that he supposes that somebody thinks he'll go to Russia and share a golden-domed suite with Vladimir. That's submissive. Actually, it's sort of poetic in a homoerotic way. If you look back at Shelley's poem, Ozymandias, in Xanadu to Kublai Khan, a stately pleasure dome decree, where off the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man down to the sounding sea. So Trump is no poet, but I think he would like to share a golden dome suite with Vladimir. I think he'd like to be the apple of Vladimir's eye, but Vladimir is a genocidal sadist. Well, enough of the politics, enough of the politics. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. You make the show. Great callers as always. Stand by for another great show. Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time tomorrow. Signing off for today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done. over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.